Hey there, this is your pal Sully. This is a quick programming note. I recorded today's podcast before I saw the Rob Manfred press conference. Rest assured, that is going to be the topic of the podcast on Tuesday. Please enjoy this episode of Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, the number one national baseball daily podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 17th day of February, 2020. It's President's Day, and I'm not going to get political, but we're going to be talking about a couple of things, including what could be the single greatest story in the last 4 or 5, maybe even 10 years of baseball, if it comes true. And oh yeah, I'll bring up the Astros. And we say goodbye to a star who was not the most celebrated in his time, but is worth a salute. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. And we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbean, all the places you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. And hands on the wheel, please, please, no crashing into cars. Or you can check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it really is your team every day. You can follow me. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And we have a brand new sponsor, and we're going to talk about them shortly, and that is League Commish. And they are terrific, and we're going to be talking a little bit about fantasy baseball later in the show. Okay. I am legally obligated to talk about the Houston Astros scandal, but I am going to hold it to 1 minute. 1 minute. Starting now. Okay. We've gotten to an absurd point with the Houston Astros scandal because the Astros don't seem to understand the fact that they were caught and we're not going to believe what they say. So when things come up like about buzzers on Jose Altuve's body, we're not automatically going to buy the whole, oh, he just didn't want to show off a bad tattoo. And people are going to be breaking down pictures of their tattoo here or tattoo there. No, it's not going to happen. You don't get the benefit of the doubt. Especially, go read the way the Astros were reacting to the sign-stealing stuff during the postseason. They were treating like, oh, come on. Yeah, we've read about that. Whatever, whatever. No, it turned out to be all true. So when you were caught in a lie, you can't play the whole, well, you know, there's an obvious explanation for a card. You already blew that. And that's all I'm going to talk about. I gave you 1 minute about it. There's going to be tons of talk about it. And I guarantee if you add up all the minutes that we talk about this scandal, it's going to be a lot. But that's all I'm going to do. Now, there is a rumor that is going around that the Mets may be bought. Now, Met fans are in the mindset of anybody but our current ownership. Anyone but the Wilpons. And it's funny that New York has this reputation of, if you were a New York sports fan, you're just spoiled with championships and they expect nothing less than a title in New York, blah, 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 blah. But if you have the wrong combination of New York sports teams, you are staring at staggering incompetence and very few parades. You know, when you think about this last decade, only one New York team won one of the four major sports titles, and that was the New York Giants. But let's say, okay, if you're a basketball fan in New York, you've had nothing to cheer for. Nothing. It's a generation has passed since the last Knicks championship. I have no memory of a Knicks championship, and I'm closing in on 50. But if you're a Jets fan, a Mets fan, and you root for the Islanders, or heck, even the Rangers, whose title in 1994 is getting further and further into the, you know, into the rearview mirror there, then you could be a New York fan and be really depressed that all you've seen is losing and profound losing and stupid losing. There's been stupid losing with the Jets. There's been horrifically stupid losing with the Knicks. And a lot of stupid losing with the Mets. And so Met fans want to see some of that change. They want to have a parade of their own. And they want to at least change the culture from staggering incompetence. So whenever anyone comes around, like the Cohen rumor was around, like people are like, fine, just try it. And that fell apart, very Mets-like. Well, now there's a rumor that there's another ownership group that's coming around that is led by Alex Rodriguez. And there is no Adam in my body as it is currently constituted that does not want this to come true. A-Rod has had the single greatest rehabilitation of any superstar I've ever seen in sports history. It's unbelievable. And he is a beacon of hope for the Astros stars who are about to be taken through the ringer. If you are Jose Altuve or Carlos Correa or Bregman or any of the other stars of the Astros, have hope for you, because A-Rod is now beloved. A-Rod is now cute and cuddly. People who used to boo A-Rod, Yankee fans vilified A-Rod. He won two MVPs with the Yankees. He basically signed, sealed, and delivered the 2009 World Series title, but he was hated, 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 hated. Well, guess what he's done? He's dusted himself off. He's been great on TV. I think I'm not a big fan of him as a play-by-play guy or as a color commentator, but as a studio guy, he was off the charts. He looks great on TV. He knows how to handle himself on TV, and he's made himself this fun figure. And of course, he plays the cute and cuddly boyfriend, husband, not 100% sure what their relationship is with J-Lo. And of course, if they create children, that child will become the Quisatch Haderach. Please, please have there be one Dune fan out there who got that reference. And he's been on Shark Tank, and he does cute things on Instagram. Everybody loves A-Rod now. And if A-Rod is part of the group that is leading the Mets, then he can have that sense of, hey, cool, A-Rod's in charge. Isn't that kind of fun? And he probably wouldn't be putting his own money in like Shark Tank. He'd probably be more of a figurehead owner the way that Magic Johnson is with the Los Angeles Dodgers. But remember, that was a very similar situation with the Dodgers because they were owned by the McCourts, who were just shoving the Dodgers into the ground. In comes a new ownership, of which Magic is basically a figurehead, but everyone has positive feelings about it. Now you got positive feelings. So you cut to the booth there, and there's A-Rod and Jenny from the Bronx. Isn't she a Yankee fan? Well, A-Rod was a Yankee too, so let's everyone cool it down a little bit. They could be the face of the Mets, and that's fun. But there's another reason why it's fun. National League East features what? They feature the defending World Series champion, Washington Nationals, boom. The heated rivals with the Mets and the Phillies, boom, yeah. The Atlanta Braves, another rival with the Mets, boom. And, oh yeah, the Marlins. Who owns the Marlins? Or at least who is the nominal figurehead that is pushed in the front as in charge of the Marlins? Jeter. Has there been a superstar whose reputation has taken a bigger tumble? Okay, yeah, there have been. But Jeter is perfect. He is the baseball god. And in 2014, people were wondering if they should just fold up Major League Baseball with the retirement of Derek Jeter. Oh, will baseball ever survive? And now he's looked upon as, he's kind of a clumsy owner, isn't he? Certainly how he handled things like the Tony Perez and Andre Dawson firing and the giving Giancarlo Stanton away, and the Marlins are kind of a joke. And he's there, and they're falling apart in that weird stadium, and the Marlins are just an afterthought in the league. But wait a minute. Could his competitive juices be flowing? Could he allow A-Rod to be in the same division with him? And that would create an instant rivalry between the Mets and the Marlins. Will A-Rod top Jeter in the leading his team to a championship? Will Jeter, who's kind of in a little bit of a malaise with this sort of afterthought franchise suddenly be like, wait a minute, am I really going to let A-Rod be the one accepting a World Series trophy while I'm sitting here in Miami sucking down a pina colada, listening to Jimmy Buffett, wondering what happened while A-Rod becomes the Prince of New York? Can I let that happen? I want this sale to happen. I want the rivalry between the Mets and the Marlins to become a weird, which one do you like, A-Rod or Jeter fight. It can only be good for baseball. I'm telling you, it is exactly what this sport needs in a bizarre and, well, slightly banana sort of way. But let me just bring something else right now, because this is the first edition of a Fantasy Minute brought to you by League Commish. And today, we're not talking about Yankees, we're not talking about Mets, we're not talking about Marlins. We will go back to the Red Sox, because I want to bring up Chris Sale. Now, Chris Sale has become a little bit of, for the lack of a word, maybe an afterthought or maybe forgotten in terms of a starting pitcher for your fantasy team, because he's had some injuries issues and last year was ineffective as a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. But he is a candidate to have a big bounce back season in 2020. Keep in mind, he hasn't thrown a lot of innings over the last 2 years. He threw under 150 innings last year because he had shoulder issues and elbows issues. And of course, those injuries, we have to be concerned about them. But they also mean he hasn't had the wear and tear on the arm over the last couple of years. And there's also, if you're looking at his some more of the deeper extended stats, you'll see that, for example, his ERA and his FIP, the difference between the two of them was one of the largest in the major leagues. He had a bad BABIP, and you're starting to see that he may have been just a little unlucky in some of those innings and might be a quality bounce-back candidate as he comes back from his injuries. He hasn't had the wear and tear, and he had some bad luck, but he could still be a big strikeout pitcher. And if some of those balls that were flares get caught this year, he may not have some of the big innings against them like he had last year. So if he's still hanging around late in your draft, he might be a good pickup if you want a good bounce-back candidate for your fantasy team. And that's your Fantasy Minute brought to you by League Commish for Monday, February 17th, 2020. What are you doing for the game? It's a universal question. Whether the casual follower, the tweets everything, the beginner, the diehard, the stat nerd, the smack talker, the appetizer guy, the couldn't care less or the makes everything into a competition person, we all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to the fantasy sports, and League Commish exists to ensure your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy as sign up with your preferences, get match, and approve the match before any commitment on your end. Sign up with League Commish by February 29th, and that's right, it is a leap year, and receive 15% off by entering the code LOCKEDON in the referred section of the sign-up form. The first 25 people to sign in using our code receive their first match for free. What are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com. Sad news happened the other day. Tony Fernandez died. It's always weird for me when I see a player who I remember basically their whole career die. You know, it's mortality facing me right in the face. But Tony Fernandez was a relatively young man. He wasn't at 60 years old yet. In fact, he was 57 years old when he died on the 15th. And for those of us who remember Tony Fernandez, he came up before the big explosion of shortstops of the mid-1990s. Remember, there was all, whether it was Jeter and Nomar and A-Rod and Omar Vizquel and Miguel Tejada, all those great shortstops all seemed to come up around the same time. Fernandez was the generation right before that. And he was alongside and did not get the press that Cal Ripken got. Did not get the press that Ozzie Smith got or Alan Trammell got for that matter. But he was a tremendous ball player, tremendously exciting ball player, and part of the wave of Dominican players who seemed to come through either the Dodgers or through the Blue Jays during the 1980s. The Dodgers and the Blue Jays were really the pioneers of dipping heavily into the Dominican Republic and having their academies and signing players very young and everything like that. And the Blue Jays became very, very popular amongst Dominican fans. I remember there was living in New York, and the Dominican sections of Upper Manhattan all were wearing Blue Jays caps and Blue Jays jackets. Even Manny Ramirez, who grew up in the Upper Manhattan, I think it was Fort Washington where he grew up, I could be wrong, but in that area of Northern Manhattan, he said he grew up a Blue Jay fan because they had George Bell and they had Tony Fernandez. They had all these Dominican players coming through the team. And Tony Fernandez was a player who won many gold gloves. He was considered to be the premier shortstop in terms of defense in the American League, but was also a tremendous offensive force. He was someone who got those, he didn't hit home runs, many home runs, but he would hit the line drive doubles into the gap, take first to third. Those Blue Jays teams were so exciting, and they were arguably the most talented team to not win the World Series. And by that group, I mean the George Bell, Jesse Barfield, Lloyd Mosby, Damasio Garcia, that whole group, Dave Steeb. And Fernandez, year in and year out, would be the spark plug of that team. In fact, his injury down the stretch in 1987, a lot of people point to as the reason why the Blue Jays lost the American League East on the last day of the season was they didn't have their spark plug with them anymore. Yes, George Bell won the MVP and he had a marvelous season with the Blue Jays, but it was Fernandez who was the spark plug of that team. And the one win that the Blue Jays got in the league championship series against the Oakland A's in 1989 was sparked by his performance. Now, the Blue Jays wound up trading him to the Padres in the deal that was just an earth-shattering blockbuster, where they sent Fred McGriff and Tony Fernandez to San Diego, and they got back Roberto Alomar and Joe Carter. Of course, those two players were key in leading the Blue Jays to a World Series title. It seemed unfair that Tony Fernandez was part of all those Blue Jays teams that were so close to getting to the title. And then when they finally won it in 1992, he was in San Diego. Well, a little justice was served in 1993 after a cup of coffee with the Mets. They traded him back to the Blue Jays. And when the Blue Jays won the World Series in 1993, Fernandez was on the team and he got his well-deserved ring for that. And in the World Series, drove in 5 runs in Game 4 of the World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Year in and year out, he put up solid numbers as an offensive player and as a defensive player. Later with the Yankees, he hit for the cycle in 1 game. And he was set to be the starting shortstop for the Yankees in 1996 when he was injured and had to miss the season. And the Yankees decided to rush their hot prospect shortstop into the starting lineup, therefore sparking the Derek Jeter years. As a member of the Cleveland Indians, he hit the home run in extra innings that broke the tie and sent the Indians to the 1997 World Series, and was an all-star as late as 1999 when he returned to Toronto. He had several stints with the Blue Jays. It's kind of like how Ricky Henderson kept coming back to the A's. Well, Fernandez kept coming back to the Blue Jays and remained one of the great fan favorites in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays and had a wonderful career. Borderline Hall of Fame career, I'll say it. And had a lot of the advanced metrics that we look at now would probably value Tony Fernandez a lot higher than he was at the time. But at the time, multiple All-Stars, multiple Gold Gloves, came up big in the big games, and made highlight reel plays And I hate to say he made him look effortless, because he made tremendous effort and remained a premier player deep into the 90s, past the time when A-Rod and everyone had made their mark in the league. Fernandez was still there and still considered to be an elite player and an impossible to root against player. He was fun. He had a reputation of being a great teammate. He had a sense of excitement and joy with his play, seemed to have a huge smile on his face, and he loved winning. He seemed to love to win in Toronto, whether it was in Exhibition Stadium, whether it was in the Sky Dome winning the World Series, whether it was when they changed their uniforms, that he still was there, still getting big hits. And he had, I believe it was a... was it a kidney issue was what he was having? He had some sort of kidney disease, and he was in a coma. He suffered a stroke and died this weekend. And here was a man who did everything you could want in the major leagues. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of fielding percentage, because I think that's a flawed metric, but when you consider over a nine-year period, his fielding percentage was .992. That's not bad. That's his record as a shortstop. Oh, and by the way, he played Gold Glove level defense at third base as well. So for Octavio Antonio Fernandez Castro, known as Tony Fernandez, a player who I feared as a Red Sox fan and admired for his many years and his three stints with the Blue Jays, or four stints with the Blue Jays, a World Series ring, four Gold Gloves, five All-Star appearances, and part of the Blue Jays and Ontario Sports Hall of Fame. Rest in peace, Tony Fernandez. Rest assured you will be in the In Memoriam video. And a player I really enjoyed watching growing up has moved on and died. But worth a salute here at Locked On MLB. So, go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. Like us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places you listen to your show. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. This has been the President's Day politically free episode of Locked On MLB on the 17th day of February 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.